Welcome to the lesson, Healing Belongs to You. Will he or won't he? Isn't that always the question we have? Will God heal me? There's never a doubt about if he's able. The doubt always comes in is, will he heal me? Today we're going to talk about God's will for you and its healing, and it belongs to you. The same time you were saved, your body was redeemed. God healed you when he saved you. As much as he wants to save you, he wants to heal you. So healing is God's will for you. Many people are unsure of God's will to heal. They seek to determine God's will by looking at experiences, looking at traditions, looking at what may have happened to someone else, or even what the pastor or preacher said. We cannot look at these things to determine what God's will is. Where we determine God's will is by looking at the Word of God. In his Word is where we find out God's will. So as we'll study the Scriptures, there are three places that we can look to see God's perfect will for mankind. One is in the Garden of Eden. That's before the fall, before Adam sinned. Two will be in heaven, and three will be in the ministry of Jesus. So in the first few chapters of Genesis, where we see the Garden of Eden being described, there is no mention there of sickness or disease. God created man according to his own will and to his own purpose. And if God had wanted man sick, he would have made him sick, or we would have seen sickness right there in the garden. But we never see sickness in the garden. We just see Adam and Eve living in peace and well-being until Adam sins. When Adam sinned, then we see sickness and death come into the world. But it's only after Adam sinned that we see that death come into the world. So God really created and designed man's body to live forever. Sickness only came upon mankind after Adam sinned. Romans tells us this. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So we know that when sin entered into the world through what Adam did, sickness also came in and death was also there. So in the Garden of Eden, before the fall of man, no sickness, no disease. God's will. Then we also see in the Scriptures where it refers to heaven. Never do we see someone who is depicted as sick. We just don't see that. And what we call the Lord's Prayer, we see two truths concerning the will of God. One, that the will of God is being done in heaven. But two, that the will of God is not necessarily being done on the earth. Let's look at this verse. It's in Matthew 6, verse 10. This is Jesus praying. He's saying, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." See, God's will is not automatically being done on earth. It's really up to us to decide in my life if I'm going to let God's will work in my life. But God's will in heaven, there's no sickness or disease there. There's no record of it. But there is sickness and disease in the earth, but it's not God's will for that because sin had entered in. Sickness then, if there is no sickness in heaven, sickness must not be the will of God. There's also no record in the Gospels that Jesus told anyone who came to him that you can't be healed because it's not God's will for you to be healed. So when we look at the ministry of Jesus, we don't see where he says and he prays for person one be healed, person two be healed, person three, oh, it's God's will for you to be sick. It's not God's will for you to be healed. We don't see that. What we do see in the ministry of Jesus is that Jesus healed them all. Repeatedly, we see in the Scripture where Jesus healed them all. He healed everyone. Jesus himself says that he came to show us the Father. His ministry to us and his ministry in the Bible days, it was really God's proof that it's his will, God's will, to heal. Jesus said this in John 6:38. He says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." He came to show us the will of the Father. Jesus is the perfect picture of the will of the Father to us. His will was that we might be healed and that we might be well. Really, when it comes down to this question of will of the Father, that's really where the biggest question is. It's really never been the question of if God has the power or if God has the ability to heal us. The question's always been, is he willing to heal us? Jesus says repeatedly in the book of John, "You can look at me, but if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He says in another place, "The words that I'm speaking, the words I'm saying, I'm not really even saying my words, I'm saying the words that the Father has given me to say. I'm speaking for the Father. I'm doing what I do for the Father. He says things like that repeatedly in the book of John. So when we see Him going about healing all, we see that that's the will of God. So Jesus Himself freely dispensed the healing power of God. He healed every sickness and every disease. Matthew tells us this in chapter 9, verse 35. It says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." So Jesus went about preaching, teaching, and healing all sicknesses and disease among the people. That's what Jesus did. This perfect picture of the Father that we have in Jesus, that's what He did. It must be God's will to heal. Well, let me point it out one last time. Jesus really settled this question of His will to heal and God's will to heal. He forever settled it when one man came to Him one day who was sick and he wanted to be healed. Let's look at this verse. This is Matthew 8, verses 1 through 3. "When He," talking about Jesus, "had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped Him, saying, 'Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean.' And then Jesus put out His hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately his leprosy was cleansed." This man had the same question you and I do, and many other people we know. They believe that God is able, that He can, but they always question His willingness. When Jesus settles this issue for us right here, He settles it once and for all. It is God's will to heal. It's God's will to heal you. It's God's will to heal me. It's God's will to heal. He said, "Lord," the leper said, "Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean." Jesus said, "I am willing. Be cleansed." That should settle it for us forever, this question of, is it God's will? It is God's will to heal you and heal me. So where does sickness come from? That's the question then. Where does sickness come from? Sickness comes from Satan. You see, sickness came as part of the death that sin brought. It's from the devil. In fact, the Bible calls sickness an oppression of the devil. If you look at this verse in Acts 10, verse 38, it says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him." So God was with Jesus, and Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. The Bible says right here that this sickness is an oppression of the devil. It's not from God. It comes from Satan. And when Jesus, He saw a woman who was bent over who could not raise herself up, it made Him angry. He immediately assigned blame for her bondage to Satan and declared that she should be set free. Let's look at this verse. This is Luke 13, verse 16. Jesus is saying, "So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath." So Jesus healed this woman. He immediately determines that this bondage that she's in, this sickness, this affliction that she has, it's from Satan. That's where it's from. That's who's the author of it. It's come from Satan. But Jesus said, she ought to be set free. And He set her free. She'd been bent over for 18 years. But Jesus said she should be free, and she was set free. It made Him angry. It made Jesus angry when He saw her in that bondage to Satan. So He dealt with it, and He set her free. Jesus alerted us to the intentions of the enemy. Sickness is just one of the tools that the devil uses to steal, kill, and to destroy. It's definitely a contradiction to the life that Jesus came that we might have, the abundant life He talks about in John 10:10. This is what John 10:10 says. It says, The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus is saying, I have come that they may have life, and they may have that life more abundantly. So Jesus came to give us life, and that life abundantly. But the enemy, Satan, he uses sickness as a tool to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So you can really kind of put a big line through the middle of your life. Anytime you've had good, it comes from God the Father. Anytime you have bad, it comes from Satan, God's enemy, the devil. And when you see sickness, sickness is on the side of bad. Jesus came that we might have good. Jesus never once made anyone sick. That's not what he did. Jesus came and set free those who were oppressed of the devil. He came and healed those who were oppressed of the devil. He came and set them free and healed them. That's what Jesus did. That's what God's will is for us. So Jesus paid for our healing, and then he gave that healing to us. You see, because sin came on mankind as a result of Adam's sin, someone had to pay the penalty and bear the punishment to redeem us out from under the sin and from all that came on us as a result of that sin, which included sickness. That's what Jesus did when he suffered, bled, and died at Calvary. The stripes that were on his back paid for our healing. Isaiah 53 says it like this. Now, this is Isaiah, Old Testament. He's a prophet. He's a seer. He's looking into the future, and he sees a man. He later sees that this man that he's describing, we see this man he's describing, it's Jesus. But he's seeing this man, and this man's going to pay the price for our sins. Let's look and see what Isaiah said. Surely he has borne our griefs, and it's also translated their sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, and that word's also translated pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed and made whole. So Isaiah sees this man who's going to be beaten, stricken, and afflicted, but he's going to be beaten that way and afflicted for us. He's going to be bearing our punishment. He's going to be bearing the price for our sins. And those stripes that will be put on his back, it's going to be for our healing. That man Isaiah was seeing was Jesus. Matthew says it like this when he says, Jesus himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. That was Matthew 8, verses 17. And then Peter, in 1 Peter 2:24, says, by his stripes, again, he's talking about these stripes that Jesus bore on his back, by his stripes you were healed. And the Greek translation there means that we were physically made well. We were healed by those stripes that Jesus bore on his back. So he paid the price for our sin, and he paid for our healing, and he gave that healing to us. So when we got born again, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God becomes our Father. Jesus, He comes to live within us. We are made part of God's family, and all the benefits that we have from being in God's family now belong to us. So we are no longer a sick person trying to get healed. We are healed. That's who we are. So healing becomes an accomplished fact for us. It's who we are. This fact was settled at the cross by what Jesus did. So this is something that we have. This is something we're entitled to. This is not something we're trying to get. Healing belongs to us. So healing can't be earned any more than any other part of salvation can. So healing will come to us by grace, through faith, just as every other benefit, part of the benefit package that comes with us through salvation. It's God's gift to you, and it's given to you because God loves you. So how do you receive healing in your body as a believer, as a Christian? Simply, this is how you do it. You find the scriptures in the Bible. You go to the Bible, God's Word, and you find the scriptures that promise you healing. You lay hold on that healing with your faith. You thank God for it. So you believe God that that healing that was promised to you, it's yours. And you receive it by faith the same way you received salvation. And if you are struggling with that and you can't really get your faith around it, you think, call for an elder of the church. You call for somebody who is a spiritual leader. They can come and minister to healing for you or to you, and then you'll be made well. This is how James says to do it. James 5, verse 14 and 15. He says, if anyone is anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So if you're sick and you can't find the verses, you can't get your head around it maybe, you can't believe it to receive it, call for someone. The elder or the spiritual leader will come and they can minister to you, and you can receive your healing. But healing, as far as it being available to you, it's a done deal. It was settled at the cross when Jesus paid the price for our sin. When He was raised from the dead, He paid it completely, and you can have healing because it belongs to you. Jesus commissioned us to heal the sick. So healing is not only just for us personally, but it's also something we do. It's part of our lifestyle as a believer, as a disciple, as a follower of Christ. It's what we do. Healing is part of our makeup as a believer. It's part of just who we are. So healing is part of our ministry. He gave us the Great Commission, Jesus did, and He told those who followed Him, which we are included in that, He told us to go out and preach the gospel. He also said for the believers to go out and lay hands on the sick, and as they lay hands on the sick will recover. That's what the Bible told us to do. Lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. And these healings will confirm the gospel which we preach. So as believers, in the book of Acts, we see this. As believers, they went out and obeyed Jesus' command. The Lord honored His word. He worked with them, and He brought forth miracles, signs, and wonders. And we see miracles, great miracles, coming at those hands of the disciples. This is what the Bible says in Mark 16. It says, go into all the world, this is Jesus speaking, and preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Then they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Jesus gave us the Great Commission, but He didn't give it to us to go out and just preach and not have proof, not have evidence that what He did was real and that what He did is still working today. Jesus gave us this ability, the power to lay hands on the sick and have them recover. So when Jesus sent out the 12 disciples, we see this. He gave them the equipment they would need to minister effectively. He empowered them to cast out demons, to cast out the devil, and to also to be able to heal any sickness they came across. That's what we are to do. The same way that He sent out the 12, and then He later sent out the 70, Jesus is sending us out with this verse in Mark 16. He's telling us to go out, us to go. Actually, this is how He said it in Matthew 10. The Bible says, Matthew 10, verses 1 and verses 7 and 8, says, when He had called His 12 disciples to Him, He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. All kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease, He gave them the power to cast it out. Then He says, as you go preaching, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. So He tells the 12 to go out and preach first and then to heal. Preach first, kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's what Jesus told the 12 to do. That's an interesting thing because you and I could probably name the 12. I mean, probably, I don't know. I could name half, you could probably name half. We could come up with the 12. But then He sent out 70 also a little later. And it's interesting that when He sent out the 70, He told them something similar, but yet it was a little bit different. Let's look at what He said. This is in Luke 10, verses 9. And to the 70 He said, heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. He's saying to the 70 to heal first and then preach. Now, the 70, I don't know their names. And if you know their names, I'd like for you to tell me some of their names. I don't know who these 70 are. But He's saying that we can, as believers, when we look back at what he said in Mark 16, when he's talking to you and I as a believer, he's telling us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And then when we do that, when people do that, what Jesus said, he will confirm the word with signs following. He will get the job done. That's what the 70 did. They went out, they laid hands on the sick, then they preached the gospel. In doing that, there's a reason why I believe that Jesus set it up this way. When you and I go sometimes to places, people don't know who we are. And when we talk about Jesus and we share Jesus with others, they may or may not believe anything about him. But if we use God's word and we heal the sick first, then we can preach the gospel and people will receive. There was a time I was in Peru a number of years back, and our team was on the street. We're just on the street in a city in Peru. Nobody knows any of us. Nobody knew who we were. But we were going there for the purpose of sharing the gospel with people. We ran into a situation where there was a man who was sitting in his home, in the doorway of his home, and he had a large growth, something right here. It was not normal. It was abnormal. It was a large growth on his body right here. And we simply asked him if we could pray for him, if we could pray in the name of Jesus, and then we asked permission if we could lay our hands on him and pray for him. And he said yes. Speaking through the translator, we were able to pray for him. And as we were praying for him, we saw that growth subside. It started shrinking. And before we left that man's house, it was gone. But when it left, when we prayed, it was so funny what this man did. He jumped up and was raising his hands and was crying at the same time and laughing with joy. And he and his household prayed with us to be born again. That's where this really comes into effect for us, is where we pray for the sick, or we heal the sick using the name of Jesus, and then we can share the gospel with them. People are open to receive when they see that what Jesus did back in the Bible days, what he did then, he's still doing today. And he did it through the hands of us, a disciple, the believer. There was another time we were on the streets here in our hometown. And we were out with the team and they were ministering to people. And again, we're not known. People don't know us in the city. And we walked up on a group of people who were sitting there, reading the newspaper, sitting around drinking, just taking it easy. And in an attempt to share the gospel with them, they were not open to receive. So the question we asked was, is there anything we can pray with you about? Do you have any pain in your body? We were following this example here in Mark 16 and looking at what Jesus told the 70. So we looked for, is there any pain in your body? One of the guys spoke up and said, yeah, I've got some pain in my body. My back hurts. It's so interesting, though. He was sitting there reading his newspaper, and he wouldn't look at us. He was just reading his newspaper, and we said, stand up so we could pray with you. But he said, no, that's okay. That's okay. He wasn't interested in standing up. He was just going to continue sitting there reading his newspaper. But his friends, kind of picking on him, said, you said you had pain in your body. Stand up. Let's see what this guy's got. Let's see what's going on. So he finally stood up. Again, we asked permission. We laid hands on him, and we prayed for him in the name of Jesus, and we commanded the sickness to go and healing to come. And the man looks at us, and he's got a smile on his face, and he's saying, what happened? What did you do to me? What did you do? Because we said, touch your toes, bend over. What can you do? Can you do what you couldn't do without pain? Can you do it now and there'd be no pain in your body? And he bent over, he touched his toes, and he was healed. And his friends couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. But when that happened, because of what happened with him, and he was being for real with his friends, they were all open to receive the gospel. We were able to preach, just like these guys did in the Bible. Except we didn't preach the kingdom of God is at hand. We just said, Jesus loves you. He died for you. Will you accept him as your Lord and Savior? And we were able to pray with those people to be born again. Jesus commissioned us as believers, as disciples, to take this healing power that He gave His disciples, that He's given to you and I, to take that when we go out and minister. It's part of our equipment as a believer. We are to go out to preach the gospel, but we are also to go out and heal the sick. You and I, we can do that. Jesus has commissioned us to go.